This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's shiur. The first shiur is normally the halacha shiur, but I've decided to take a look at something a little bit different. It's called 49 Steps to Greatness, Sfira Sa'ume. Very interesting topic, and I want to begin with the following mashal. Imagine, I'll preface it with a question. This is a question I heard from Rabbi Zev Lev, a beautiful, insightful question. If you think about it, the way in which we count Sfira Sa'ume seems to be inconsistent, because we count the days at the beginning and the weeks at the end. So for example, the very first night we counted, second night of Pesach, we said Hayom Yom Echad La'Omer. We did that at the very beginning of the day. It was, you know, in a Jewish day, the day follows the night. Shabbos is Friday night, and then Shabbos, Sunday is Motzei Shabbos Sunday. So at the very beginning of that day, we count Hayom Yom Echad La'Omer, whatever day it is. But we only notch up the weeks at the end of the week. So for example, when it comes to day 7, we say Hayom Shiva Yomim, Shehim Shavua Echad La'Omer. We only mark the fact that it's a week at the very end of the week. So really, we should be consistent. Either we count the days at the beginning and the weeks, or we should count both at the end. So for example, we should count at the beginning. We should say, Hayom Yom Echad Shehim Shavu Echad Omer. This is the beginning of the first day of the first week of the Omer. Or we should count the days, you know, after Mincha or something, at the end of the first day. Why do we count the days at the beginning and the weeks at the end? That's the question I heard from Rabbi Zev Lev. His answer is that the methodology, the way in which Chazal instructed us as how to count, is really goes to the core of what Sfira Sa'ume is all about. Sfira Sa'ume is a period of time where we are meant to perfect ourselves, improve ourselves, work on ourselves, to be ready to be Mekabel the Torah. So that jump from Pesach through to Shavuos is really a work in progress. It's a 49-day program to prepare ourselves for Matan Torah. The mashal that I mentioned earlier, imagine you've a very special occasion. You're going out to a restaurant, it's a special anniversary, a special birthday, and the husband and wife are sitting there, and they're going to ask for a nice glass of wine. So you go over to the waiter comes along with his serviette over his arm, with the wine list, and you say to the waiter, I'll have a glass of your finest. So he says, okay, but the list, you know, the most expensive wine is hundreds of pounds. Fine, a glass of your finest. So he comes along, fine bottle of wine and two glasses, and the wine could, you know, the bottle itself could cost £1,000. But if the glasses that he gives you are dirty, that they haven't been washed up, you know, for the last three people have used them, and there's lipstick marks, and there's smudges, and there's a bit of wine stains at the bottoms and breadcrumbs, you can serve the finest wine in that glass, but you've destroyed it, because the glass is dirty. The Torah is perfect. Torah is Hashem Tamima. It's the most beautiful of fine wines. Our job during Sfira Sa'ume is to polish the glass, is to make ourselves ready to be mekabel the Torah on Shavuos. Says Rabbi Lev, the way in which we count is a guide as to how we go about this process to polish the glass. That's really what he's saying. The counting, the method of counting, what is it illuminating? The explanation is this. When a person embarks on a period of growth, the best way to do it is to do so in a very slow, measured way. If a person decides to do too much too quickly, he'll fall. Last Sunday here in London, there was the London Marathon. So whoever won broke some sort of record. Imagine you wake up last Sunday morning, you're going to run the marathon, 26 miles plus. If you're not trained and you're not fit, then Rahman al-Islam, a person could collapse after a short time. So too, if a person wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to daven shachris this morning from beginning to end with unbelievable kavana. See, he could collapse by Baruch Sha'amah, if he's lucky. You can't, that's an ambitious thing to do. The key is to do small, bite-sized pieces, and that's more likely to succeed. So for example, you can undertake, you know, the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, to do it with Kavana, to understand, to think, to daven the first Brach of Shemoneh Esrei with Kavana. These are bite-sized things. When here in London, Dayan Aaron David Duna, you know, the well-known Dayan, is a fantastic speaker. And in the time of the Gulf War in 1991, I don't know if you remember it, but Klal Yisrael, we were worried. I remember it was just before I went to Yeshiva, and my brother was already in Yeshiva. And I remember the phone calls from Eretz Yisrael. I remember my mother on the phone to him, and we could hear the Scud missiles coming over, you know, in the airspace of Jerusalem. And it was a scary time because Saddam Hussein, you know, there was talk, there was chemical warfare on the Scud, you know, the heads of the Scud missiles, and no one knew. So Dayan Aaron David Duna is a Talmud of Ponovich. He went to Reb Shach and he said to his Rebbe, he said to his Rosh Shiva, I have the opportunity to go and speak to Klal Yisrael. Everyone's very scared. What should I tell them? And Reb Shach said to him, tell them to do tshuva, but they should do so in a very small, measured way. They shouldn't take on too much. It won't work. Small kabbalas. And then in a moment of sort of personal disclosure, Reb Shach said to Dayan Duna, let me tell you what I took on last Rosh Hashanah. Now, this is, Reb Shach was the leading Rosh Shiva of the time. This is the 1990s. He was then, I don't know exactly, but probably well into his 90s. What did he take on? He took on to bench from a bencher, but only when he's at home, and only, I think it was till Hanukkah, or maybe till Pesach. I mean, very small. That is what counting the days at the beginning of the day represents. In order to achieve 49 steps to greatness, there are 49 separate steps. There's one day at a time, slow incremental progress, because if you take on too much, it won't happen. Why do we count the weeks at the end? Because the weeks, when you look back and you realize you've actually accomplished something, I've got 7 days, 14 days, or whatever it is, you realize that you've accomplished something, you've achieved, and that serves as a catalyst for further growth. That inspires you for greater progress. There's a pasuk, when you take a Jewish sefer, any sefer, yeah? Versa Mech and the Rambam. So you take a sefer, we know that you learn, you go this way. So I think the Gaon says, Lashon the pasuk, I forget, is Lev Chachum Biyamin, that the heart of a wise person is b'yamin, uchsil b'smol, something along those lines. I think a pasuk in Mishle says the Gaon, a foolish person, when he looks at the sefer, he looks left. When you look left, you look that way. Oh my gosh, look how much more there is to do. But lev chacham b'yamin, wow, look what I've accomplished. So you count the weeks at the end because you look back and that serves as a catalyst. You know, you take daf yomi. You go over to the shelf and you see a whole shas. It's impossible. I'm never going to finish this. 2,700, whatever it is, blood. Impossible. It's overwhelming. But if a person does daf yomi, you do a day at a time. Just today, I'm focusing on daf beis. Tomorrow is daf gimel, but I'll worry about that tomorrow. You do one day at a time, and then after a week, a month, you look back and you realize, whoa, I've covered many prokim, I've covered mesechtas. And that itself serves as a catalyst for further growth. So the way in which we count is not inconsistent. On the contrary, it's educating us about how we go about the process of this 49 steps to greatness, of polishing the glass, being ready to makabel the Torah, Shavuos. So therefore we count the days at the beginning and the weeks at the end. Now, how do we go about this process? What do we look at each day? So there's lots of different things one can do. One thing that is classically people do is when you count Sfiras HaOmer, you go through the seven spheres and each one is broken down. So there's Malchus Shebechesed and etc., etc. That is really bordering, you know, sort of on mystical, Kabbalistic ideas, which is, although there are many Sfarim on this, but that's perhaps beyond some of us, certainly me. Another way of doing it is looking at the famous Mishnah at the end of Ovis, in Perek Vav and Pirkei Ovis. There's a famous Mishnah of the Hatera Nikmetz Barboim Mishmeret Dvarim. The Torah is acquired through 48 ways, and it goes through 48 ways, not only how to acquire Torah knowledge, but really it's growth in life. And again, there's lots of literature on it. And what I want to do, maybe today, next week, we'll see beyond, Mitzvah Hashem, But at least from now till Shavuos, just to have a look at some of these Kinyoni Torah, they're fascinating. And we'll explore, we'll select some of them just to sort of make this journey together. So the Mishnah, if you look at the first box on the page, if you're listening online, email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. The Mishnah says, V'ha'teir niknis ba'aboyim ha'shmonidvarim. Torah is acquired through 48 ways, b'talmud, b'shmiyas ha'ezim, b'arichas v'sayim, etc., etc. And it goes through what the 48 ways are. Now, let's look at the first one. The first one is fascinating because it's so obvious, yet it isn't obvious. What is the first way to acquire wisdom? The answer is Talmud, to learn. You know, the Nike advert, just do it. That's exactly what it's saying. Just learn. No shortcuts, just do it. The Rambam gives us a little bit of clarity as to what's involved. What are the parameters of this Talmud? Says the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, Kol Ish Mi'Yisrael Chayev B'Talmud Torah. Every Jewish person is Chayev in to learn. Ben Oni Ben Osher, whether he is wealthy or poor. Bein sholem begufe bein bal yisroel, whether he is healthy or not. Bein bachur, whether he is young. Bein shoyer zokin gadol, or very old. Shetosh ashkeichai, and he is very weak. Afilu hoye oni ha-mefanis min ha-stoka, even if he is poor and he is himself a recipient of stoka, mechaza al psochim, and he goes round knocking on the doors. Va'afilu bal ishur bonim, even if he's got family responsibilities, he has a wife and children. Chayev likvoy lezman l'talmud Torah, he is obligated to learn. Both at day and at night. As the Pasuk says, one has to learn, delve into Torah day and night. Now, why is it so interesting that the first one is Talmud? The answer is, if you think about it, imagine I wanted to teach someone how to be a good basketball player. So I would go to the court and, you know, I would tell them, look, this is how you stand. And you put your feet in such and such a way, and you position yourself like this, and you bounce the ball three times. Yeah, I'm no expert in basketball, as you can tell. But, you know, not two times, not four times, and you bounce it like that, and you keep your eye on the net, and then you throw the ball, and this is how you hold your hand, and this is how you do it. And this is, you know, and let's say they watch me do it. And let's say I'm very, very good, and I throw 100 baskets, and I get a swish every time. It just goes straight down. It doesn't hit the side, and straight down. That doesn't make them into basketball players. They can watch me do it and they can be very impressed and maybe they'll see some technique. But unless they put their shorts and t-shirts on and get in the middle of the court and start throwing themselves, they're not going to achieve anything. Imagine piano. I'm teaching someone how to play the piano. So I can say, okay, this is how you do. You sit like this. This is how you hold your hands. And then you put this piece in there. Unless they actually sit at the keyboard, they're not going to achieve anything. And it's true with anything in life. And so too with Limud HaTorah. If a person wants to achieve success in Limud HaTorah, he's got to just do it. So the first of the 48 is Talmud, is to learn. The Chafetz Chaim says in the Hakdamah to Chelek Gimel in Mishnah Berurah, which is all about Hilchos Shabbos, he said you can learn, you know, Chizuk and Musa about Shabbos, which will inspire you to keep Shabbos, but unless you actually know the halachas of Shabbos, you're not going to keep Shabbos. So the first stage in the journey is Talmud, is to learn. Okay. Let's do one more. The next one, number two on the list, is Shmias Ha'ezen. What is Shmias Ha'ezen? It's best translated as attentive listening. Now, attentive listening is a very hard and quite a rare art. To really listen. I'll give you a moshel what Shmias Ha'ezen is. Not a moshel, it's a true story. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, the premier Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. And although he himself was a tremendously accomplished Talmud Chacham, Rosh Shiva, the Rosh Shiva Baranovich, every Rosh Hashanah he would go back to his Rebbe to learn and to get Chizuk. One time he was there with the Chofetz Chaim, and it was Rosh Hashanah, and the Chofetz Chaim gave a Musa Drasha. And Rabbi Chanan sat there, being machnia himself fully to his Rebbe. And at the end of the Drasha, someone turned to Rabbi Chanan and whispered to him and said, I think that our Rebbe said the same thing last year. And Rabbi Chanan looked at him and said, no. He said, there were 8 words different. That's Shmias Ha'ezen. That's really listening. Take a look at the Medrash Shmuel, famous Pirush on Ovis, the bottom box. But Shmias Ha'ezen, Kalaymar, sheyate ozno ledivrei Rabbi Yisov, that he turns his ear to his Rebbe, v'imyatim ozno, if he closes his ear mileshmoya lekol meirov, but he doesn't listen, he sort of spaces out, afilu shoachas, even for a moment, ef shekiba isa hashoah, nevda mimenu margolius teva. In that moment, he could lose a precious pearl. So shmias ha'ezen means attentive listening, and listening full time, without spacing out, in order that you don't miss a pearl, a drop, that is being said. So those are the first two. Miss Hashem, I think we need to leave it there. But please God, we'll explore this more in future weeks, because there's some fascinating ideas, you know, of how to achieve the personal growth. But again, the idea is small steps, and then points along the way of reflection where we can look back, which serve as a catalyst for further growth.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.